Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Tuesday, July 18th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. The big news today is we have 13 nations that have now agreed to engineer a global famine. Those nations include, of course, the United States, but also, by the way, Brazil, Australia, and many more. We're going to get into that in great detail because this is happening. This is real. A mass famine is being engineered for global starvation, just as Kamala Harris was bragging about over the weekend when she said that we need reduced population in order for the children to have clean air and water. So they're investing, she says. The government's investing in reduced population as a way to save the planet. So, of course, since the COVID vaccine, which is a bioweapon, we have some news on that also, has not yet killed the billions that it probably will, or at least with other vaccines that are coming. It seems like the vaccine bioweapon developers may have been a little too optimistic in their minds, their twisted minds, about how many people it would kill. So now they're going to have to resort to engineered global famine. And that has been announced. There's a press release. I'll tell you all about it. It will name the 13 nations. And also Leah Homan covered this, by the way, a little while ago. This news has been out for some while, a couple of months here. But almost no one knows about it. So we're going to cover that. And it's all official stuff. But to begin, here's an astonishing story that was reported by the Associated Press. 50 countries are close to a debt default. So this is the UN Development Program, UNDP, has raised the alarm about catastrophic levels of public debt that are affecting almost half the globe. So UNDP Administrator Achim Steiner told Reuters, which also covered this, quote, "I think the bottom line is, as of July 2023, the issue of debt restructuring is really not advancing at all on a scale that is called for and needed." And he said the situation was a grave concern. And then UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned that 52 countries have no way to reduce their debt burden and we're approaching default. Now listen carefully to this quote. He said that 3.3 billion people lived in countries that are spending more on interest payments than on health or education. He says, quote, "This is more than a systemic risk. It's a systemic failure." Wow. According to the UN, 40% of the world is in serious debt trouble. Yeah, because, of course, all the debt creation, the global debt Ponzi scheme pyramid, is coming to an end. This era that we've been living in, you and I, most of our lives, it's artificial. It's an artificial era of artificial abundance that was created from artificially low interest rates combined with the mass creation of artificial money. You put those things together, you get an artificial sense of material wealth, ultimately collapsing in total disastrous catastrophic debt. And that's where the world is going. According to the United Nations, in 45 nations, just the interest on the debt is higher than spending on healthcare. And of course, they have a lot of woke terms about this. They say, oh, inherent inequality in the international financial system is burdening developing countries disproportionately. Yeah, really? No, it's money printing, you fools. It's massive money printing and money manipulations by, you know, well, the magic money sorcerers at the central banks. The problem is not inherent inequality. The problem is that all the people of the world are getting ripped off by all the central banks. That's the problem. The problem is we don't have an honest money system. We do not have an honest money system. Well, I should say the governments don't. I mean, we the people have already figured it out. And as I've said before, it's gold and silver and crypto. You know, crypto's honest because no one can muck around with the ledger and create another trillion coins out of the blue, like they can with dollars, for example. So, the debt collapse is coming. Again, 50 or over 50 countries close to default. And no one has more debt than the United States, by the way.
You think the U.S. is close to debt default? Yeah, of course it is. What do you think is going to happen when the default comes? Oh, it's going to be a whole new era of Mad Max survival when the banks collapse. I did a podcast about this. I said, you know, the Amish are pretty smart people. The Amish and the Mennonites, they have healthy children, by the way, healthy families. They don't have diabetes. They don't have cancer. They don't have autism because they don't take these toxic vaccines and they don't eat toxic processed junk foods and they don't have their children getting the toxic exposure to TikTok, which maybe should be called TikToxic, you know, all the psychological operations on there targeting children. And also, of course, Netflix and Disney now with its pro-grooming pedophile movies that feature young girls involved in blood harvesting ritualistic demon cults. That's a new movie, or not a movie, it's a series from Disney. We covered that yesterday. Wow. The Amish don't have that. So the Amish kids are actually physically healthy and mentally healthy, not to mention spiritually, because they're also very dedicated to their religion. Their spiritual dedication is high. Right? Same thing with Mennonites. Very high. Well, do you realize that when the Western financial system collapses and the supply chain collapses and the food system collapses, which is coming, that's what we're going to be talking about here today, that the Amish and the Mennonites are pretty much okay? You realize that? Because they don't have these ridiculously complex, insane supply chains and processed food factories. I mean, they're living very close to the land. They're living with skills and knowledge that are rooted in the real world instead of the delusions of Western civilizations. So the Amish are going to be just fine. Same thing with the Mennonites as well. But people who worship government, oh, they're going to be destroyed as this whole system comes crumbling down. So global public debt reached an all-time high of $92 trillion in 2022. That's up 500% since 2000. Mm-hmm. So here we go. We don't know the timing of this. Impossible to predict. But we know it's going to be the most catastrophic debt collapse in the history of civilization that we know of. That's for sure. All right, moving on to other news, and we're going to get to the famine situation here because it's a bombshell. Check this out from CBS 12 News, just published in Melbourne, Florida. County GOP says that COVID-19 vaccine is a bioweapon. The Brevard County Republican Executive Committee has voted on a proposal. They want to send this proposal to Governor DeSantis, calling on them to make the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines illegal in Florida. This letter that they want to send to all the lawmakers in the state references the Florida grand jury investigating the COVID-19 vaccines, and it follows Governor DeSantis asking Florida's Supreme Court to impanel a grand jury to look at the vaccine rollout and to determine whether any crimes were committed. Well, of course crimes have been committed. DeSantis even wrote, Florida law prohibits fraudulent practices, including the dissemination of false or misleading advertisements of a drug. And the whole vaccine rollout was total fraud. They claimed it was safe and effective and backed by science. It was none of those things. It was a complete fraud. The people who pushed it should be prosecuted, criminally prosecuted. So the COVID-19 injections are, quote, biological and technological weapons, says this letter from the Brevard County Republicans. It talks about the deaths, the adverse events, you know, the side effects and so on. It talks about violations of the Nuremberg Code. I'm telling you, this is pretty incredible. The Republicans in Brevard County get it. There are no Democrats writing letters that talk about the truth about vaccines because, of course, Kamala Harris wants, you know, reduced population. Got to have more vaccines to achieve that. Now, yesterday, changing the subject now, yesterday I talked about how Joe Biden is preparing for a U.S. ground war against Russia and how the U.S. military is going to get absolutely slaughtered if they initiate a ground war with Russia.
Imagine the surprise when the enemy fights back and has superior air power and superior anti-air defenses. This isn't the sandbox in Iraq, guys. This is fighting a capable, well-equipped, well-armed, high-tech, advanced and committed military, which is the Russian military, versus what so much of the Western military has become, which is the following, although I will have a disclaimer to say I 100% support our veterans. I am not anti-soldier in any way whatsoever. Over the years, you've seen all my support for veterans, but there are changes now happening at the top of the Pentagon that are trying to turn the United States military into a cabal of woke, weak, snowflake libtards who are incapable of carrying out the actions that war requires, by the way. And again, there are many dedicated soldiers. I want to give them credit, but my goodness. You know, there are a lot of young men who are refusing to join the military now because it's gone so woke. They don't want to be indoctrinated into some kind of a grooming operation. It's like the gay military, the trans military. No thanks. They'd rather go learn something else. Some perhaps useful skill that pays well. I mean, everybody's hiring right now across America, it seems, for anyone willing to work. All right, but with all that in mind here, from Max Slavo at shtfplan.com, Russia has destroyed one-third of U.S.-supplied armored fighting vehicles sent to Ukraine. So if you're wondering where all the money's going, I mean, aside from obviously the kickbacks, the bribery, the fraud, you know, all of that kind of stuff, the money laundering back to the Democrat Party. Well, also, it's going to buy more armored vehicles that are being routinely destroyed by Russia. So far, the so-called Bradley armored fighting vehicles, which sometimes people refer to as tanks, but they are not tanks. They have tracks, and some people think that anything with tracks is a tank. And those people are not well informed, so... The Bradley fighting vehicle, by the way, has, I believe, a 25mm gun on it. That's not a tank gun. It's not a main... I mean, that's the main gun for the Bradley. It's 25mm. It doesn't take out enemy armor, by the way. Still a pretty sizable round against, you know, light infantry and buildings and so on, but it doesn't take out enemy tanks. So, anyway, the Bradleys, one-third of them are already destroyed. And this is why, of course, America needs to keep sending more vehicles because, well, they keep getting destroyed. The Ukrainian military has so far reportedly lost 20% of the equipment that it deployed on its counteroffensive in just 2 weeks. 20% losses in 2 weeks. So, you know, you take that out to 10 weeks and you're done. So the New York Times is now reporting that Kiev, or Zelensky, has decided to pause the counteroffensive operation. It's on pause right now. Russia's just inflicting, quote, devastating damage to the armor. And part of the reason is because, of course, the people who are handed this armor, they don't know how to use it well. You can't be just trained overnight. These are complex pieces of equipment. They require maintenance. There's a checklist, a pre-flight checklist, you know. And it takes, really, a couple of years to master their use on the battlefield. It's not like just, you know, hopping in a go-kart, like, just go over there, you know. No, it doesn't work that way. So what do you think is going to happen when the United States launches its ground war against Russia? Well, it means that the U.S. is going to have lots more equipment destroyed. That's what that means, in case you were wondering. And from the National Pulse website, Russian President Vladimir Putin claims that over 100 Western tanks, this is tanks now, I'm not talking about just Bradleys, but tanks, main battle tanks, have been destroyed since early July. That's 100 tanks in a little over 2 weeks, by the way. And Putin says that all attempts by the enemy to break through our defenses, they have not been successful for the entire time of the offensive. He says that 311 enemy tanks have been destroyed since July 4th, and at least a third of them were made in the West, including Leopards, you know, from Germany. He says that Western tanks are priority targets for Russian forces and, quote, they burn just as well as all the others. In fact, better than the Soviet T-72 tanks, for instance. Now, Joe Biden has promised 31 American-made M1 Abrams tanks to Ukraine. They haven't shown up yet. And you know why? You know why they haven't shown up? Because the military-industrial complex doesn't want to have the shame and embarrassment of seeing M1 Abrams tanks burning on the battlefields of Ukraine, which is exactly what's going to happen. It doesn't work well as a sales brochure for American military ingenuity. Look at how they burn. It's amazing. And you know the M1 Abrams tanks, by the way, I hope, maybe you don't know this, but instead of using a diesel engine, which is what most tanks use, they put a jet engine in it, yeah. Just a giant jet engine, which is stupid, because jet engines have turbines, and they have to operate at very high RPMs. And so they make a whining, loud noise, kind of like Kamala Harris, come to think of it. This whining, loud noise gives away their position, makes them easy to find, easy to spot, even with drones. But also, you don't want to run jet engines close to the ground because that's where all the dust is and all the little dirt particles and things that tend to destroy jet engines, by the way. So I don't know what idiot designed the M1 Abrams to run on a jet engine, but those jet engines, one frag, one little hit, boom, the turbines just shatter. The whole thing blows up. Doesn't take much, like a pebble can do that to an M1 Abrams tank. If a pebble gets through that air intake and gets into the turbine, it's done. Much less a drone or an enemy round. It is a little pebble. That's all it takes. M1 Abrams, the most fragile tank ever made. The T-72s are actually tougher, by the way, in many ways. I mean, they don't have the same amount of armor exactly, but they're tougher overall. The T-72 is actually still a very functional tank. So now, here's what else is going on that's going to kind of lead us into our main story, which is the engineered famine. But you know that there was a terrorist attack on the Crimea Bridge, which is currently held Russian territory, of course. And, you know, Crimea voted under a referendum to join Russia years ago. So this isn't even part of the current war. But Ukraine and the West are trying to destroy this bridge, and so they launched a drone attack, and it was like 2 days ago or something, and it tore up part of the bridge. And so, in response to that, Russia has allowed a grain deal, which is really a grain transport deal out of, I think, Odessa. It's allowing the grain ships to leave the ports and to not be harassed. That deal is done. Russia is not going to renew that deal. They're withdrawing from the deal. It's final. That's what Russia says. Let's see. Russian tells UN shipping agency that end of Black Sea grain deal means guarantees for the safety of navigation issued by the Russian side will be revoked. Russia also says that proactive necessary actions and response measures to neutralize threats posed by the Kiev regime in the area will be taken, and so on and so forth. So, wheat prices have spiked, not surprisingly. And what it means is that there's going to be more of a food shortage across the Middle East and Europe at the same time that, of course, geoengineering weapons are causing record heat waves and droughts across, well, much of the world right now, including most of Europe and, of course, North America at the moment and other regions as well. It's pretty wild. I've even heard that Taiwan is sweltering under extreme heat right now. So the bottom line is that there won't be any more wheat exports out of southern Ukraine, or at least not safe wheat exports, the Black Sea ports. It means the wheat's not going to flow, and food prices are going to go up, and food scarcity is going to go up, and so on. So there you go. By the way, two civilians were killed in that strike on the Crimean Bridge, which no doubt was targeted by the United States and carried out by Ukraine. So it's just two more casualties of innocent civilians in this ongoing war, this conflict that didn't need to happen, that Joe Biden pushed for it, the U.S. State Department pushed for it, and that Trump probably could have prevented and would have stopped long before now. That's one more reason that Trump would be great on this issue to stop these insane wars. So that's just part of the issue affecting the global food supply. The next issue, which is sort of the main story here, involves something called the Global Methane Hub. And there's a press release on the website globalmethanehub.org. Now, this organization, which is a globalist, obviously, you know, anti-human organization, they want to end all livestock because they say that methane produced by livestock alone, they say, is going to destroy the planet. Well, gosh, I thought the problem was CO2. And then they say it's methane. And then next week they say it's nitrogen. And then they seize thousands of farms in the Netherlands because of nitrogen, which is found in cow urine, by the way. Have you ever seen a cow urinate? You know, it's like a big gusher. It's a giant waterfall going on there. They do not hold back. That's why cows need to drink a lot of water. But yeah, there's nitrogen in the urine. And in the Netherlands, they said, oh, too much nitrogen, so we're going to shut down and seize all the farms. And they did that. They seized thousands of farms. So anyway, this group called the Global Methane Hub, which might as well be called the Global Anti-Human, you know, Initiative, like Protocol Zero or something, right? That's what they should be named. They have a May 17th press release from this year. And here's the title. Major livestock-producing countries commit to mitigate methane in agriculture. So my translation of this is 13 nations agree to engineer global famine. That's the truth. Now, these 13 nations, I'm going to read for you their list. I hope this adds up to 13 because, well, this is what their list is. It's Argentina. It's in alphabetical order. Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Burkina Faso, which I admit, I have not heard of that country. Have you ever heard of Burkina Faso? Chile, Czech Republic, Ecuador, Germany, Panama, Peru, Spain, the United States, and Uruguay. Okay, so, or in English, as we say, Uruguay. It's always funny. It's always funny to hear the American pronunciation of South American countries and names and things like that, but whatever. So we just call it Uruguay. I can't stop laughing. It's so funny. Anyway, all these countries have decided that they're going to join this initiative. They've signed it, actually. And they all say that this is the CEO of the Global Methane Hub says that food systems are responsible for 60% of methane emissions. So we congratulate these countries that are willing to take the lead in food systems methane mitigation, which means, okay, what they're saying is that producing food destroys the planet, and we congratulate these countries that are going to destroy agriculture to engineer a global famine to save the planet. That's what this says. I mean, it's a straight-up admission. And here we go. John Kerry, you know, Mr. Private Jet himself, private jet man, he says, mitigating methane is the fastest way to reduce warming in the short term. No, it isn't. Stop the geoengineering. Mitigating methane. I'll tell you what, shutting down agriculture is the fastest way to starve billions of people to death. That's what John Kerry is actually attempting to say, or that's what he means. And then Luis Planas from Spain, he's the Minister of Agriculture, Fisheries, Food, and Famine. I added that last part. He says, quote, I am glad to see the shared commitment by the international community to mitigate methane emissions from agriculture, right? Again, to shut down food production. As a means, he says, to achieve the goals we signed for in the Paris Agreement. He's talking about the Paris Climate Accords, which Trump got us out of, by the way. So see, this comes back to the Climate Accords. It's all about shutting down food, shutting down farms, shutting down abundance, shutting down energy, in the name of the climate. Well, the climate argument is just a proxy for depopulation, as Kamala said and Bill Gates said. It's all about depopulation, folks. It's always been about depopulation. Well, I should say for the last few decades. And it says the government of Spain is going to organize another conference in 2024 to monitor the efforts of shutting down agriculture, right? So every year, they're going to line up and say, we got to have more famine, shut down more farms, kill more cattle, get rid of everything that feeds humanity. So this is a real deal. Now, journalist Leo Holman, who I interviewed, covered this also a couple of months ago. He says, his headline is, globalists are revving up plans to engineer global famine and starvation. 13 nations agree to convert over to less productive green farming methods. So green. It's so green. So the participants in this conference include the Food and Agriculture Organization, or the FAO, of the UN, the Climate and Clean Air Coalition, which might as well be called the Exterminate Humanity Coalition, the Inter-American Institute for Cooperation on Agriculture, which should be called Let Everybody Starve to Death, the World Bank, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which should be called How We Tear Down Farms and Destroy Humanity, and the Inter-American Development Bank, which should be called How We Rip People Off While We're Starving Them to Death. So there you go. That's who's involved in this. It's all about taking people's money, taking people's land, their farms, and starving them to death, doing like a global debt reset. Oh, your currency, oh, it's gone. Oh, your farms, your food, oh, it's all gone. How horrible. Good thing the planet's all good, except it isn't, because, of course, of the geoengineering and the terraforming, taking CO2 out of the atmosphere, which causes more crop failures because, of course, crops use photosynthesis, which requires CO2. Yes, I know. You're ahead of me on this, right? We've covered this 1,000 times. So this is what a planetary scale extinction event looks like as it's rolled out with cover stories of saving the planet. Now, in a sense, they may very well be saving the planet from humanity, not for humanity. They're saving the planet for someone else, or something else, or something outside human civilization. Yeah, they might be saving the planet for that. They're not saving the planet for humans. They are destroying human civilization while claiming they're saving the planet. So, of course, this is all, it's all a cover story for global depopulation and extermination. Why are we not surprised? Should not be surprised at all. Now then, my friend Michael Snyder at the Economic Collapse blog, he wrote a story a couple of days ago. And here's the title of that story. Quote, store food while you still can, because 2.4 billion people already do not have enough food as this new global famine accelerates. And he says global food supplies keep getting tighter. He says, I went to the grocery store, small bag of chips that I once bought on sale for 99 cents now has a price of $5.99 stamped on it. He says food inflation is here to stay, and the entire planet is going to suffer. He says that a British news source, The Guardian, recently noted we are facing, quote, environmental breakdown and food system failure, which, remember the UN story that we talked about a few minutes ago, talking about systemic failure of the global financial system. Yeah, we're also having systemic failure of the food system. So from The Guardian, it says, quote, we face an epochal, unthinkable prospect of perhaps the two greatest existential threats, environmental breakdown and food system failure, converging as one triggers the other. Well, of course, all by design. Michael Snyder goes on, he says, according to the UN, 30% of the population of the world does not have constant access to food right now. And they say, quote, the food security and nutrition situation remained grim in 2022. About 2.4 billion people did not have constant access to food. I mean, I'm laughing because I'm thinking in my mind that almost 300 million Americans do not have access to nutrition. They have food, but it's all empty calories at the grocery store. Processed garbage crap, you know, except not the Amish. And the Mennonites, they're eating real food, but the regular Americans, they're eating garbage. 2.4 billion people do not have enough food to eat. And then, as Snyder writes, in 2023, we've seen crops devastated by natural disasters and bizarre weather patterns over and over again. In Vermont, the flooding, farmers have completely lost all their crops in many areas. And then across the middle of the country, he says, a crippling drought is devastating corn and soybean farmers. And NBC News reports that throughout the Sun Belt, an extended heat wave is sending temperatures soaring and so on. The breadbasket states are struggling to manage a drought. Nearly two-thirds of Kansas is in severe, extreme, or exceptional drought. About half of Missouri and Nebraska are in the same shape. Tomato prices in India have gone up 400%. And in central Canada, one farmer says he hasn't had a good crop since 2016 due to the endless drought that has plagued Saskatchewan. So overall, Snyder reminds us to stock up on food while we can now, while it's still relatively affordable. But as you know, I've always said this, that stocking up on food, buying food, is only the second best option. Your first best option is growing food and learning how to, you know, getting those skills and having the seeds. And so growing food should still be at the top of your list, but stock up on some food as well if you don't already have some. And by stocking up, you can extend the buffer zone, you know, the time that you're allowed to fail at growing crops in case it's the wrong season or you have crop failures or you don't have, you know, water, or you have crop pests like rabbits or deer or whatever, you know, bugs and mites and aphids and white flies or whatever they are that eat all your crops. So it's good to have some stored food just in case. Of course, a self-plug here, our online store, healthrangerstore.com. We have a lot of stored food. We've been producing like crazy. We are more than caught up. Even with very aggressive sales over the last couple of sales events, we still have food. So this situation is very unusual for us, and it's probably just because it's the lull of the summer, and people are trying to chill out, maybe not worry too much. But man, the next big event that happens that wakes people up to preparedness, I know our inventory is going to get wiped out again. It happens again and again. But right now we have freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, all organic, all lab-tested, in number 10 cans, which are the big metal coffee can-type things. And they're sealed, you know, they're rodent-proof. And we also have the food buckets. We have mega buckets, and we have mini buckets, and we have ranger buckets. So all three different types of buckets. And in those buckets, you have all different types of things, from nuts and beans and legumes and all kinds of things, and quinoa and whatever. So if you want some certified organic, long-term storable food in rugged containers, it's all lab-tested for glyphosate and heavy metals, and also E. coli, salmonella, etc., then shop at healthrangerstore.com. We appreciate your support. How much food should you have? I don't know. How long do you want to be able to eat? But the other thing is that food is also now a hedge against inflation. I mean, buying food now is probably the cheapest food you're ever going to see. Food's only going to become more and more expensive. And just like Snyder was writing about it at the grocery store, some of the prices are completely insane. In fact, it's crazy. I was at a retail store over the weekend. I couldn't believe this isn't about food, but rather about other things. This retail store sells a lot of hardware, and they were wildly overstocked for some reason. So they were selling like a $20 screwdriver set for $5. And then on the weekend, they were offering 30% off of that. And so I picked up, it's like a dozen screwdrivers, like a $20 set. I picked it up for, I don't know, was it $3.50 or whatever. That's crazy. I'm never going to see that price again. If you see good deals on anything like that right now, pick it up. Because this is probably the last time we're going to see an overstock situation out there. From here forward, especially in the food realm, it's going to be scarcity. Again, engineered famine. What do you think the effects are going to be when they shut down all these farms? The ranch operations. You know how much beef is going to cost in a couple of years? After they destroy thousands of farms across America and Brazil and all these other countries that sign on to that, Australia, there's a lot of beef produced in Australia. Well, maybe not for long. What about Spain? What about these European countries? Ireland, you know, they're already slaughtering hundreds of thousands of cattle there because they don't want beef. So if you ever get to eat a hamburger again after this, you know, it's going to be a $50 hamburger, a $100 hamburger. You might have to pay in gold or silver, you know. Oh, you want a hamburger? That's, you know, that's illegal. You're going to have to bring something else illegal. I'll give you like a 50-round box of 9 mil. How about that? Okay, a hamburger for 9 mil. You're going to have to barter your way to a burger. Yeah, that day's coming. It's not that far away. And it's not just beef, by the way. You know, it's chicken. It's lamb and mutton and pork and all the animals that are used for food. And, of course, the globalists are going to try to convert you over into their lab-grown, you know, cancer tumor chicken nuggets that are grown in the lab using, you know, cancerous cells that never die so they can just keep it growing. And they just harvest some flesh every day off of that. This is open up the top of the cancer vat, you know, after they feed it nutrients. It's like the Matrix. And they slice off a chunk of flesh and then they press and form that into nugget shapes. And that's what you're going to get frozen at the grocery store, you know, like cultured meat nuggets. No animals suffered, but you will if you eat this. Yeah, no animals died in creating this meat, but you might die from cancer if you eat it. Yeah. Because you're eating tumors. Yeah. Tumors for breakfast, and tumor breakfast burritos, and then tumor sandwich for lunch, and then, of course, tumors with a side of veggies dinner. How would you like fried tumors, boiled tumors, broiled tumors? This is like Bubba Gump. Fried shrimp, boiled shrimp, braised shrimp, lemon shrimp, you know. You can have all your tumor meat the same way as Bubba Gump, the shrimp and boat captain. And finally, you notice how the globalists are really not trying to hide much of this anymore. You know, for example, on geoengineering and weather control, the White House is out there saying, yeah, we all support geoengineering, anything to cool the planet. For years, they said it was a conspiracy theory. Now it's just policy. Same thing here with shutting down the farms. They're not even pretending that they're not shutting down the farms. They're saying, yeah, we're going to shut down all the farms to save the planet. This is the excuse for everything. Yeah, you might starve to death, but it's good for the planet. It's good for the planet. Oh, yeah, these droughts might be destroying crops, you know, because of the weather weapons and the biosphere alterations. But, you know, it's good for the planet. Good for the planet. Just don't need very many people still around, you know. Just got to eliminate the low-hanging fruit of humanity. That's the way the globalists talk to each other. Some people are so stupid, they just line up and take the jab over and over and over. Yeah. And somehow, some of them survive, so we gotta starve them out. Hence the famine. You realize that in about 10 years, you're gonna be able to wear a t-shirt that says, I survived the jab. I survived the famine. I survived nuclear holocaust. I survived the darkening of the skies. You know, I survived the global debt collapse and reset. I survived the chimeric bioweapon release of 2025. And I'm still here and kicking. That's going to be your t-shirt a few years later. Yeah. It'll be fun because there won't be too many survivors to share that message with, but I guess we'll all get t-shirts at that time, any of us who are still around. All right, now, like I said, I don't have an interview for you today, but I do have an interview coming up for Decentralized TV that I think is going to get published sometime today, maybe later today. And I've got a lot of interviews done that are just kind of backlogged in terms of my review of the editing and so on. So there's no shortage of interviews, they're just not all done on a timely manner, but they are coming out. A lot of really fascinating interviews. In fact, we have an interview coming up about low-energy nuclear reactions as a renewable energy source that would make, a lot of fossil fuels obsolete. Not all of it, but it could be used for heating buildings, and that's a lot of energy use right now, even electricity use for heating buildings. So that interview is just going to be fascinating. Can't wait for that to come out. But check out all the shows on decentralize.tv. That's the website for the new show. And I think we'll have an episode for you posted later today. And then tomorrow here on this program, I'll have an interview for you. I am conducting, I'm conducting one interview later today that will bring you there. And then throughout the rest of the week, it's going to be a pretty packed schedule, so you'll have some good information. Be sure to check out Brighteon University if you haven't yet. It's brightu.com, just the letter U, brightu.com, and there you can register to watch the free video seminar that's taking place right now from Peggy Hall. It's called Know Your Rights, and it's about how to use the law and the regulations and all the published material from hospitals and states and so on to be able to reject the mandates, the vaccine mandates, mask mandates, lockdowns, all this stuff. If you have an employer that's trying to force you to take a vaccine, you can fight back peacefully using words, and Peggy Hall gives you the words. So that is running all week long at brightu.com. In fact, it's running through July 25th. So be sure to check that out. One episode goes on a repeat loop each day. And in the meantime, you can learn to grow food. Check out Marjorie Wildcraft's website, icangrowfood.com. She's one of our sponsors. And then also arcseedkits.com. That's A-R-K. arcseedkits.com for non-GMO heirloom seeds that you can save the seeds and grow them year after year. So seriously, get into growing. I mean, it's easy for me to say it, hard for me to do it. I thought I was going to grow some corn this year. Never happened. Never grew corn this year. I'm kind of disappointed. I am growing kale and things like that in my hydroponic system, but even I didn't grow as much as I wanted to grow. However, if it all hits the fan, at least I've got experience growing a lot of things like that. So maybe I won't starve to death. Learning curve will be shortened. That's always a good thing. So at least practice growing food. Even if you don't grow enough to live off of, just practice growing food. Or check out the Food Forest Abundance episode of Decentralized TV, which is an interview with Jim Gale. Jim Gale's amazing, and he teaches you how to build your own food forest so that you can have abundant food without gardening, without weeding. It's growing food in a very simple, renewable, organic kind of way. Food forest. And permaculture practices, things like that. So check all that out, and I'll be back with you tomorrow with another update and another interview. Until then, be safe, take care. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here at the Health Ranger. Naturalnews.com is the website to check out, as you know, and also, of course, catch my interviews on Brighteon.com and other platforms. Thanks for listening. Take care.